Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. It is the first Wednesday of the month and has for a long time now been our tradition and our pleasure on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour to talk about food and cooking and generally with the same guy, the man we like to call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. He's been stopping by here monthly for a long time. A long time to do these shows. And we always have fun. He picks some sort of topic, something that just occurs to him, divine inspiration, I don't know what it is. And he says, well, let's talk about this. And then we do that and we exchange sometimes stories and cooking tips and recipes. There's no rule here that says we have to stick to that topic, but generally we pick one thing to kind of focus on and invite people to call in. And this time around, his suggestion was we talk about fruitcake. Fruitcake has a bad reputation, and there are probably a lot of people out there who would say that they've had fruitcake and they don't particularly care for it. They don't really think that it's anything to get terribly excited about. But we believe that it's actually possible to make a fruitcake that's good and that that people will enjoy. And I think his idea to talk about it right now is that if you're thinking about doing this as a holiday kind of an item, you got to get on it. It takes not so much that it takes time to make the cake, but to do the required aging of the product, well, that's going to take some time. So you really have to start in advance. So maybe you might think about that this time around. And maybe if you are already a fruitcake aficionado, you enjoy it. Maybe you have a good recipe you would share with us or, you know, some kind of fruitcake-related story. That would be fine as well. 333-9455. That's the number for Champaign Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us. 800-222-9455. That is that number. So at any point here, you want to call in, you can do that. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much.
Was there something
it's
in particular?
November.
Was that? Yes, I can't quite believe that myself. Yes, it's November. Something in particular that got you thinking about this subject?
Yeah, I made a fruitcake. I said, if I'm going to get to some, I have about two friends who have made their fruitcakes already. One finished day before yesterday. And it made me think, well, you can't, it's like planting flower bulbs in the fall. You can't have spring flowers if you don't plant the bulbs in the fall. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't have a fruitcake around Christmas time or Thanksgiving time or first of the year or whatever you're wanting when you want it, you know, and unless you make it early and it wants to mellow for a good. I used to make the fruitcakes and then put them away for a year. And then start using the ones, keep them in the freezer even, mm-hmm. and take the ones out that I had made the year before. And, of course, that by then they were quite mellow. And then you just keep transferring them. I don't know. I went away one year.
It's something else to do.
Something else happened, and I didn't. And I sort of broke that chain. But a fruitcake is a lot of business. It's not that that 6 minute throw things together and the cake is ready. You know, I have one of those too. It takes 6 minutes to make the cake and then it's done because you don't even make it in a pan. You stir everything up in the cake pan that you have. Mm-hmm. But I have always enjoyed eating. There are a couple that are made commercially that are really quite extraordinary. I think the one from Georgia, Caxton, I think its name is Caxton or something. I believe it's Caxton. Nice little square one. They used to be around. I haven't seen the fruitcakes. They aren't out yet. Although all the fruitcake makings are out, and which is another thing that sort of, well, I better get on to it because Those red and green cherries are going to disappear first, and then you'll be left with some old lemon rinds or something.
Well, see, I think there you put your finger on some people's problem with the fruitcake is those things that are dyed glow-in-the-dark red and green, they that puts them off the whole project, and you don't have to use those things. You can just go to where they have the dried fruit
dried fruit. You know, whatever. Well, that is a glacé fruit. That's kind of a French influence of a fruitcake a lot of dried fruits, and you can even dry your own in doing something like that, and it makes a different kind of a cake though, and I like it very much. There is a cake that because I was mentioning this to one of my friends in Indiana, and they said, I said, do you remember when I made that Jamaican black fruit cake, called Jamaican black cake, I think. And she said, oh, that was the best cake ever. And it is full of all only dried fruits. Mm-hmm. There aren't any glacé or preserved fruits. And I remember doing that. I think it was in an old gourmet magazine, and it would have been, oh my goodness, at least sometime around 1989 or 85. I've lost the recipe for that. It's called Jamaican black cake. Mm-hmm. And it had a lot of molasses and brown sugar, and it indeed was a very, very dark cake and a very dense cake and only one layer, but oh boy, you know, it fed for 2 months. It was really good.
Well, these are cakes, and that's an older style of cake that
actually
is really
and
really
it take
dense.
It is dense because they don't all have leavening in them, so they aren't a light fluffy cake. Mm-hmm. And I like, as you well know, I really like to cook with the new white whole wheat, and so that makes a denser mm-hmm. Taste as well. Not that light fluffy angel food flour that you use. It'll keep it more buoyant. So I like that very complex flavor, and it's very good with coffee and tea, and you don't have to eat a lot. I think that everyone might also confuse the fact that a cake isn't something you take a big slab of, certainly not a fruit cake, would you? And if you were forced to eat a big slab, you wouldn't like it. It's far, far too much. It isn't dainty and delicate. It's wholesome.
Yeah. Well, we have a recipe that we'll share at some point here this morning.
A couple of them.
And one of them actually is one that I know that Doyle has done before. And it always gets the same reaction from people, except this morning he made it and he brought it in and he gave me a little piece and he sort of said, you know, what do you think about that? And I said, wow, this is very good. And then he said, ha, ha, ha.
He did.
He did. This is a recipe that has sausage in it. It's a sausage cake. And now people, if you've been listening to the show long enough, you'll say, oh, yes, I think I remember that recipe. We talked about it before.
I don't recall if we did we talk about it before?
Well, I know it's in one of the little collections that we've put together.
No, the sausage cake?
I thought sausage cake was.
No.
The
best white fruit cake on earth is.
I'm sure that we have talked about the sausage cake.
We may have talked about it.
We may have just talked about it.
I never made it before.
Okay. Well, I've never. This is my first time tasting it, but I know that we have talked
about
it.
We might have talked
because,
about it.
Because, that. Of course, it was a big topic of conversation afterwards. Everybody said, what? Sausage cake?
Yep.
Are you crazy?
No, I'm not.
And it's really very good. And I guess, though, that as we were talking about it, then the only source of fat in this cake is that right? Is whatever fat comes with the meat.
With the sausage. It's sausage and sugar and fruit and flour, and that's it, and nuts. Fruit and nuts and flour and sausage and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to mix it with your hands. You cannot stir. You can't. What do you do with a pound of sausage? You put a pound of sausage and 2 cups of brown sugar together, and then you have to squash that and mash it and do all. And what happens is that it draws out a little bit of moisture from the meat, and then the sugar dissolves just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you mix the flour, and then in that flour you put cloves, cinnamon, and allspice and nutmeg, the usual, not ginger, strangely enough. There's no ginger. Cloves, cinnamon, allspice, and nutmeg. And that is in with the flour. Then here's the kicker. A cup of coffee with a teaspoon of soda dissolved in it. That's the only other liquid, mm-hmm. is a cup of coffee. And in fact, sometimes it's made with just water, a cup of water. But I like the idea of the coffee and the brown sugar and the heavy flour. That I think that adds a lot to it. No, I will admit that lacing it with bourbon rather substantially helps an awful lot, and mm-hmm. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. And so for the Kentucky cake, I wouldn't use anything but bourbon.
Well, that would be, obviously, yes, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't want to put any other spirit in there probably other than that.
Nope.
And this is, you say this is a Kentucky thing?
This is a very, very old Kentucky recipe, and I'll stick my neck out, I think that it is a very old recipe because of the lack of refined prepared foods that, it doesn't take anything exotic, and it's you got all this, and November is when you butcher hogs anyway, and it is a source of fresh sausage because you don't keep fresh sausage all year round. You fry it up. I mean, in the old way, you fry it up and put it in crocks and fill that with lard, and then that lard keeps the bacteria and such from growing on. And you just take a piece of meat out as you want it, and whatever lard was on it is what you fry it in, mm-hmm. and you refry it. It just, all you're doing is warming it up. And so I kind of thought, well, look, this is so straightforward and so plain. No eggs, no butter, no buttermilk, no liquids of any sort except a cup of coffee. Now, who would have a cup of coffee like you? You got a cup of coffee, then you put it in.
Well, that's a good. See, that's I. There are many barbecue sauces that have coffee.
Oh, yes, them. Yes.
And it's a good. I think it. I'm sure it provides a good sort of dark, interesting note in there. You wouldn't if you gave this to somebody and you had them taste it and asked them what they thought. No one would ever say there's sausage in here.
No one is going to say that, and I can't figure out exactly why, because you don't do anything to it. It is fresh sausage that is uncooked, and so all of the cooking is an hour and a half in the oven. And and I looked at it, I said, what makes this different from another fruitcake, which is as dense as this and mm-hmm. such? And I looked and looked. I couldn't find any sausage. And it doesn't taste greasy. And I'm glad you like it.
Okay, yes, very good. And we'll make the recipe available.
The recipe is available, and I'll give it in more details. We've got some folks to talk to.
We have one. We'd welcome others. This is the monthly program we set aside to talk about food and cooking and always have fun with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And he said this time around, let's talk about fruitcake, as it is the time, if you're going to have it for the holidays, if that's what you want, you got to get on it. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Here is a caller in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hello. I'm enjoying this show.
Good.
Your first discussion about keeping fruitcake for a year reminded me of many years ago. I got on a fruitcake tear, and I made a batch of something that was so immense. I had so many fruitcakes. And I read that I tempered them for, like, every day for a month. I took cheesecloth in bourbon and wrapped it, and every day I would rewrap it. And then at the end of that time, I packed some of the fruitcakes in powdered sugar in tins and just put them down in my basement. I just freeze them. They were just packed in powdered sugar, and the next year they were fantastic.
It does take that long, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the powdered sugar took care of the humidity problem. There was no spoilage or mold or anything like that growing up.
Wow.
And then I got interested in your reference to Jamaican black cakes. I did a quick Google, and the first hit is, I think, your recipe, because at the bottom it says Gourmet Magazine, 1988.
Oh, I said 89. Yeah, that would have been it.
It begins by putting all of the dried fruit in a 3/4 liter Passover wine, 3/4 liter of rum, and letting it macerate for 2 weeks at room temperature.
Yes, that's right.
And then you go ahead with the rest of the ingredients and bake it. But it looks fantastic, so that'll be something for me to try.
Well, try that. As I recall, aren't there special instructions to put it in a large cake pan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it comes out to be a huge one level, and there's no icing. I don't think there's any icing.
This one says, as optional, you can take, and I know I'll have to do this for my wife, almond paste, a cup and a half of almond paste.
Oh, yes.
Roll it out between sheets of plastic.
Oh, yeah, a marzipan on top, yeah.
Yeah, and my wife's a big fan of marzipan.
Oh, well, then of course.
It just says that's an optional topping to put on it, and then you put that on top.
In your case, there is no option. You just do it. I'm telling you, that is worth the trouble and the effort, even though I would say you could probably cheat a little bit on that 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I think it would take care of itself a lot sooner, a lot faster. I wouldn't necessarily heat it up. I know that would make it go faster, but I wouldn't heat it.
Well,
let it just soak.
We're still early, so there's time to do it too.
What are the, are you looking at the recipe?
Yeah.
What are the fruits that are in it?
A pound of raisins.
Yes.
A pound of prunes, a pound of currants.
Prunes and
these are all just dried and minced.
Right.
And then it has cherries, a pound of cherries glaceade, 6 ounces lemon peel glaceade.
Lemon peel,
six ounces orange peel glaceade.
Then
all of that in with the wine and rum for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Then after that, 2 pounds dark brown sugar.
Yep.
4 1/4 cups cake flour, baking powder, nutmeg, cinnamon, 2 cups of butter, 10 large eggs, vanilla.
Oh, yes.
And that's the ingredients for the cake itself, and then the almond paste, marzipan topping.
Well, believe me, it's worth trying.
Well, we'll give it a go.
Well, thank you. And you've helped some other people find that recipe, too, because they can. What'd you Google?
I just did
Jamaican black cake.
Jamaican black cake,
yeah.
And it was the first hit. I mean, there's several thousand hits, but I just looked at this one and I saw it did come out of Gourmet.
Well, that was the right time.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for
great.
That.
Thank you.
Okay, so enjoy your show.
Thank you, and I'm looking at the recipe too here, and this is from a source, a site called RecipeSource.com.
Uh-huh.
And so that indeed, and I just did the same thing. I put Jamaican black cake into the browser, and this is the first thing that came up, and it's that recipe. And it does say that it came from Gourmet Magazine, November 1988. So if people want to, if you have the internet access, you can check out the recipe. You can give it a try. And other folks who are listening, if you have recipes to share or just like to call and tell us some kind of fruitcake-related story, 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana, and toll-free. 800-222-9455. The thing we were talking about here that yesterday in office was this, the worry that somehow keeping these for the required, at least the required time, if not longer, we would be worried about, is it going to somehow spoil? Is it going to get moldy? Are we going to poison somebody when we give them a piece of it? Why does it not go bad?
Because you keep it in a cool, dry place. So if you put enough booze in it, it's going to kill anything anyway. And really, that is as much. It mellows and melds the flavors together and the textures together. But I do believe that since alcohol is a preservative, and if it has enough sugar in it, it isn't going to spoil. Because sugar is another one of the preservatives, and I believe the cool, dry. Sometimes you put it in a tin, so that it's really sealed from just the moisture in the air mm-hmm. coming up and down. I freeze it if there's any left. It goes away fast. Mm-hmm. There's no one fruit cake in my house.
Okay, well, let's talk with some other folks here. Next is someone in Urbana. This is line one. Hello? Yes.
Yeah, I had an Uncle Sim who was a stockbroker in New York. Uh-huh. He used to send out fruitcakes to the family every year. And they would come in these wonderful boxes. And we wondered, because this fellow lived in a resident hotel, how he made the fruitcakes. But it was a great secret for a long, long time. And then one of my cousins said, oh, I know what he does. Thanksgiving, he goes over to Horn and Hardart and buys a bunch of them, unwraps them, and then every week until just a couple of weeks before Christmas, he pours a jigger of bourbon on it, seals it up, and then when it's ready to go, he mails them out.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So did he claim this was a homemade item?
Absolutely.
Well, what is that show now? Not partly homemade. What's that show on?
The one that Debbie Fields does, where she takes things and uses some pre-made ingredients and sort of jazzes them up.
Homemade, I think. Something funny.
Something like that. Yeah.
That would be a part homemade cake.
Yep, in part, but he claimed that he did it himself.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, thanks for the story.
He Bye-bye. Did the curing.
All right. He can take partial credit. Yeah. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line. Go anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Do you want to hear, we're almost at the midpoint already.
Oh, dear.
Do you want to give the sausage
cake recipe? Well, yes, I will, because it's very simple and very straightforward. And get your pencil ready, because it'll be done before you know it. It's 1 pound of sausage, and I used Bob Evans, as a matter of fact. I used mild. I didn't want any that was too sagey. Mm-hmm. So it was a mild sausage. And 2 cups of brown sugar. And you mix the sugar and the sausage. You have to use your hands. You can't do it with a spoon. And I wouldn't try to do it with a mixer, because the sausage would get all tangled up and everything. So use your hands. It works. And then that will the sugar will melt just a little bit with the sausage, and it'll loosen everything up, and you have a different kind of texture when you're done getting the sugar put into the sausage. Then I take 2.5 cups of flour, and that's in another bowl. And add 1 teaspoon of ground cloves, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of allspice, and 1 teaspoon of nutmeg. I suppose if you're out of something like that and you've got ginger, Mother always had ginger, but she had all these others too. So I think cloves, cinnamon, allspice, and nutmeg is enough to put in that. And it's only a teaspoon each one. Then you get a cup of coffee, warm coffee. If you don't have warm coffee, you use just water. And put in a teaspoon of soda into that water. Now you've got everything except the chopped nuts and the raisins. Now what I did for this particular cake is that I used half raisins and half currants, because I'm very fond of currants. And they're tinier, and they don't fill up things as much as the raisins do. But and I like the golden raisins in this cake. And although it asks for 1 cup of raisins, I put in about 3/4 of a cup of raisins and 3/4 of a cup of currants. So it's a little more fruit in it than this recipe is stating here in it. And then a cup of chopped nuts. That's the last thing that goes in. Now, that'll make a very dense, very, very dense dough. And you line your baking pans. One recipe asks for it to go into a tube pan, and another one asks for it to go into bread pans. And I found that the one recipe that had extra flour and extra sugar fit the bundt pan a lot easier than the smaller one. And I got a regular and a small, a little one, those little pound sizes of loaf pan, and then a larger size of loaf pan. I got two out of that for this particular recipe that we're eating. And then it cooks for an hour, and in my case, an hour and a half at 300 degrees, which is pretty low.
Yeah, it's kind of on, yeah, low.
Kind of low, and it just and you do really want to test it after an hour and a half, or test it after an hour. I took it out last night after an hour, and it wasn't done because I put a skewer in it, and it came out moist, and so then I put it in for another half hour, and that would have been it, you know, an hour and a half. So an hour and a half at 300 degrees, it says, or until golden brown. Of course, how can a dark cake be golden brown? It's molasses-y and mm-hmm. and anyway, that's all there is to it. Then I would lace it with bourbon and wrap it up in aluminum foil, and you can leave it out for a few days while you're doing that, but keep the air away from it. And then you can either put it in the freezer or go ahead and eat it. This cake that you're eating right now is.
He's looking at his
22 hours old. Oh, I finished it at 12:30 yesterday, and it's perfectly good to eat right now.
Yeah, it's good. That's. I guess I'm impatient. One of the things that has maybe kept me from trying something like this is this idea that, well, you got to wait forever. You got to put your hooch in there. And I guess I would just like something when it comes out of the oven, you let it cool, and then you eat it.
That's about what it is.
All right.
So that's the sausage cake. And I maintain that both of these recipes that are in this book, the book that I use, the only place that I've seen it is a book called Nights Before Christmas Cookbook, which was produced by the folks in Madison, Indiana, because they raised money for their Nights Before Christmas, which is going around and visiting houses right after Thanksgiving before Christmas. And this was a way they raised some money, was to put out this. And this is the only place I've seen it, but I have seen another reference to what was called a Kentucky sausage cake. And since Madison, you can throw rocks at Kentucky when you're in Madison. That can't be too far away from home.
Yeah.
And the people who are, I believe this one is the mayor's wife's recipe. But I really do like it, and it surprises me because I'd wanted to make it once before, and I didn't, and I don't know why. And this time I decide I am going to make this recipe. Well, I did it, and there it is. You got it, and you ate it.
All right. Well, if you did not get that written down and you would like to have the recipe, drop us a line, and we'll send it to you. That's also, there's another
the
sausage cake, and I guess we could also include. I think Doyle said he had a different kind of.
I have. Okay. Now this has been in our one of our giveaway, but it was several years ago. I don't remember when it was that I did this one, but. This comes from the Tampa, Florida Tribune in 1950. It's an old recipe, and it is called the best white fruit cake on earth. I've given instructions and directions at the same time. You dice 3/4 of a pound of glacé cherries and 1 pound of glacé pineapple. Now, this person insisted that you had to have those cherries and had to have that pineapple. Then you measure 1 3/4 cup of flour and use some to coat the fruit bits, just a little bit of it. So you've got all of these, because you know you have these you have a batter, and the batter is moist, and then you throw the fruit in it, the fruit will all sink to the bottom. But if you coat the fruit in flour, it will stay suspended. So that's what that is. Then with an electric beater, cream together 1/2 pound of soft butter with 1 cup of sugar. And in this case, I would use white sugar. And then at one at a time, 5 large eggs, and mix all of that thoroughly. Then add in the remaining flour and plus 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, and then mix it up with a wooden spoon. So you've made the moist part, and you've put the flour together with that. Now stir in the fruit bits and stir in 4 cups of chopped pecans and 1/2 ounce of vanilla and lemon extract. And then you use a bundt cake pan or a tube pan or small loaf pans. And you bake at 250 degrees for 3 hours. So this one takes a long, 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 long time to cook. And then you wrap it up and freeze them for a year. But that's a very simple, it's a white fruit cake instead of the dark fruit cake. And what is her? Oh, Mrs. Harvey. Mrs. Harvey in Tampa, Florida said that was the best white fruit cake on earth.
All right. Well, again, it seems like it's kind of, for some reason that I don't completely understand, it's difficult for us to get the recipes on the website. So if you'd like to have them, the easiest thing to do is you can call us or just send us a postcard or a note, and we'll send you the recipes. We had somebody who had a couple of questions, and I wanted to make sure we're clear about this. First of all, I guess it was just going back to the one with the meat in it, the sausage cake. Do you line the bread pan with something?
Pam baking spray.
Okay, so you would just do that and not use a baking paper or parchment like that.
No, it was. So, in fact, it is so dense that it sort of dries up a little bit, you know, in cooking, and it just falls out.
So there's kind of no problem getting
it. If you use What is the baking spray that's the more popular one? It's a blue and white can, but I recently just bought Pam for baking.
Well, it's basically the same. It's
flour
some
and
oil,
and
it's got flour suspended in it. So yeah.
Just squirt that on, falls right out.
All right. And the caller heard you talking about lacing the cake with bourbon and wasn't exactly sure what that meant. And
pour it on.
Just pour it. That all it means is just pour it on.
Yeah, as the first caller did most correctly, to take cheesecloth and soak it in red wine or bourbon, and then wrap the cake in that. I think, oh dear, first place, I don't have any cheesecloth. It's the most difficult. The most difficult material to ever find is cheesecloth. So I wouldn't do that at all. I just sit it on top of aluminum foil, and I pour it over it and wrap it up, and then I wait for about an hour, and I turn it over and pour some more on it and wrap it up. I do that about 3 times, and then I think this has only had about three bits put on it. It's not a lot, but it soaks right into the bread.
Okay, well, that's good. So you actually, if you wanted to, you could probably make it and have it ready to go in a couple days.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Or so then 20,
or 22 hours.
So then did you keep, you kept it in the refrigerator, or did you keep it out?
Just
out, like on
left, the, left, it out, left it out, but wrapped up in aluminum foil.
Ah, okay.
So it sort of made a little environment for it.
All right. Very good. Let's talk with someone here on a cell phone. This is line one. Hello.
Speaking of finishing the cakes, with regard to the white cake, do you gin it up or do you use a flavored vodka?
A white cake? Oh, you mean the white fruit cake?
Yes.
No, because you see, that's I'm a fan of. But I tell you, rum would be awfully good in the white fruit cake. Just pouring a little bit of rum over it. I do like rum, but then I like to have chocolate if I have rum. You can give somebody a piece of chocolate to eat with it.
I'm wondering about some of the flavored vodkas, like
no, I wouldn't put vodka or gin on a cake. I wouldn't do that. What you're really wanting to complement is the fruit. And those two flavors, I suppose you could do it.
Gin, I think, would... Vodka is sort of a neutral spirit unless you have it flavored. Gin does have a very distinctive... It's got, was it juniper berries
or something like that?
There are flavored vodkas now, too.
Yes, that's true.
And they're flavored.
With orange or lemon or, pick up a pepper vodka on there, I guess, if that was really what you're looking for. I don't know. I think the thing about bourbon or brandy, it would also offer you some flavor in there as well that I would think would work well with the other things
with
that
you've
got the fruit.
You're balancing out the fruit. Cause,
yeah.
You know what?
And color, too.
Why don't you try it and find out? I'll bet you may have come on something, a gin-laced white fruit cake. I promise you, when I make this, I'm going to make one with gin.
Try it and let us know and see what you think.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Let's
Sounds
go
good to
on
me.
To, let me see. How about Urbana? Line number two. Hello.
Hi. Cheesecloth is very easy to find.
Where?
Any supermarket or any hardware store in the cooking supplies section.
Yes.
And it's in a plastic bag, and it's hanging on a, whatever display rack they have.
And looks like a dish rag that you're going to buy, yeah.
Yeah, it's just folded up white stuff. I buy it periodically because I sometimes manage to damage the ones that I have. I use it for making yogurt cheese.
Oh, yes.
Just
lining the molds with that and creme fraiche and things. I lose my way in the store when I'm looking for cheesecloth. Well, thank you for reminding me that it still does exist.
I would guess, thinking about using some different sort of flavored something or other, I would experiment with it with some fruit first, just kind of soak the fruit and see if I like the flavor rather than investing all that time and effort and discovering that you didn't, and expense. And then
I think that's a very smart thing to do. And that's why I don't know of too many fruits macerated in gin. I can't think of that.
It's an interesting experiment,
But I believe you're right. Try it first.
Yeah, try it in a smaller sample. If you think about fruits being glacé, they're preserved in a sugar solution.
Yes.
And then I don't know how it works, but anyway, they're pumped up with sugar. I have a feeling they might do that with dried cherries. I started nibbling on dried cherries and decided that maybe that wasn't the most sensible thing to do if I wanted to lose weight instead of gain weight. but there are much more varieties of dried fruits available now.
Dried cherries and dried cranberries would go real good in this sausage cake. Mm. They would be great.
And the thing about sugar is that it's... I don't know quite how to describe it. I think of it as something that tends to absorb moisture, and that I think that with bacteria, it would dry bacteria out, and that louses up the moisture balance in bacteria. So
well, it
that's
is
why
one.
They can't multiply. That's why they.
It is one of the preservatives. I mean, sugar, salt, fat, 1, 2, 3, drying. Of course, drying is to get rid of the moisture. There's 4 or 5 techniques of preserving.
And you think about jelly. I mean, you don't freeze that.
Right.
My husband says that his grandparents used to make apple butter, and they would just seal the top of the crock with newspaper.
Some of that has to do with the acidity of what you're using.
Well, I don't think that apple butter has a whole lot of acidity. It has sugars in it. I don't know. But
you might put isn't there some vinegar in apple butter?
I don't know. It just seems like I'd rather just buy it rather than go to all that work.
Well,
I haven't actually tried it myself. I don't know how you make it. I can't imagine putting vinegar.
Well,
I don't really know.
Go over to Park County in Indiana, and they'll be making apple butter on the courthouse lawn. Whenever they're doing the Covered Bridge Festival.
Okay, thanks.
So you'll see that.
Well, thanks for the call. Let's go to someone else here. And this is someone in Chicago, line number 4. Hello.
Thank you. This is in the motion picture industry. They have an Oscar, and then they have other awards for various things.
Yes.
develop a fruitcake award for some of the announcers of some of the national radio talk shows for virtually putting their foot in their mouth, and they ought to develop a fruitcake award for some of them. Yeah, I mean, some of them are nuttier than a fruitcake, to use that expression.
But that's
then,
true.
Then it follows that just like the old saying, some people get by on their crust and there's no substance to the bread. That would have more tooth and fiber and substance, but a lot of them are going along on just a lot of hot air. I really wanted to get to a point that I'd heard many years ago when Sir Edmund Hillary climbed the Mount Everest.
Yes.
That they had prepared a fruitcake that was so enriched that it could virtually sustain you, you know, for whatever energy and nutrition it gave you. I wonder if anybody ever uncovered that recipe.
For a fruitcake, I'm not sure. However, I remember at about that same time, it was very popular to grind up dried fruits and...
And maybe a little bourbon and scotch.
No, I don't think so in this particular case. It was very popular to grind up, apricots and pineapple. Apricots, pineapple, plums. Another dried fruit.
Well, somebody must have a recipe for Sir Edmund Hillary's fruitcake.
Well, I think what it was a health food craze at that particular time, because you added some nuts and some things to, but you ground it all up and made a paste. And then it was made into a loaf, and then you would cut the loaves. I don't recall there ever being any flour or that it was baked or anything like that. But I think that's what was going around at that particular time.
Jam-packed.
Yeah, yeah, because it would have been very healthful and very easy to eat and very easy to carry because.
But not for diabetics.
No, it would not have been.
Okay,
but that was. That was what I think probably that thing was. That they
well, that could be. It's like the equivalent of the power bars that
yes, power
they have
bars.
Now today.
Thank
they're
you.
Very,
I couldn't think of that.
They're very. It's a very highly concentrated
yes.
shot of sugar, and maybe if you have enough fiber in there, that will perhaps slow down the absorption, so it will give you some energy from the sugar, but it will maybe stretch it over a little bit of time. It won't get this big shot of sugar right. At one time, but you'll kind of it'll break down sort of slowly. So
I remember that it was one of my my older aunts asking for this. We were in California, so it was in 42, and you could get all the dried fruits and everything out there. So mother and I made this melange for her. I don't know if she. I guess she liked it. It's what she asked for. And you could get everything. You couldn't buy that in the middle of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They barely had sulfured apricots. They did have apricots, but they didn't have all the other stuff. So she didn't have all the nuts and all the other stuff to go with it. I remember we made that for her.
All right. Well, another caller here. Someone in Charleston. That's the line. Is that the Charleston caller on line number one? Yes. Okay. Let's go there. Line number one. Hello. Well, perhaps not. Oh, what? Yes, there's a caller there. Hello, go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes,
hello.
Go ahead.
Okay, in 1952, that's a long time ago.
Yes.
My sister-in-law gave me a fruitcake called Scripture Cake.
Mmm.
And you
yes.
had to look up all the ingredients.
Yes.
The Bible, of course. But I found it very interesting because for the fruits, it had 2 cups each of raisins, dates, figs.
Yes, figs.
And then almonds.
And
also.
Almonds, yes.
And it was sweetened with honey and, of course, the usual spices, cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, and pepper.
Yes.
Pepper really, really was quite a good addition, I thought. We don't usually associate using pepper with... sweet things, but it gives a nice bite.
Somebody's been doing some things and putting pepper in things that were unusual. Of course, I know my father always put pepper on cantaloupes. You know, he would pepper cantaloupes.
Mm. Yeah.
And things like that. Scripture cake is very famous.
The other comment I have is, since we're in Illinois, we have persimmons on our plate.
Oh, yes.
And I always put persimmons, raisins, and chopped up apricots.
Oh, yes.
Together with it. And I don't use any glaciered fruits. I just use the regular dried fruits that you can get in any grocery store.
Uh-huh.
The next time I make it, which will be next week, I'm going to try using some dried currants.
Dried currants are a smaller texture, and there's something I enjoy them, and I enjoy seeing them in the cake. But, it's time. Your persimmons haven't fallen off yet, have they?
We gathered some and then let them sit in trays in the conservatory.
Oh, okay.
It's a big room with it's cool.
Yes.
And they have become wrinkled and dark and somewhat translucent. So they're ready.
So they are ready then, yes, because you can't eat them too soon.
No, when they're nice and fat and golden, they have a lot of pucker power.
Oh, yes, a lot. Well, there are the five trees on the campus that I stroll by and gather up some after a frost. We haven't had a good frost yet.
No.
So
I've tried in the past putting them in the freezer, gathering them when they're
ripe,
and then spreading them out in a tray and putting them in the freezer, and that seems to work just as well.
Well, that's...
they still have to get a little bit wrinkly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they get mushy. That's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fond of persimmons very much, and they're common around here. Yes.
Well, thank you for taking the call.
Well, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Let's do one more here at least. Someone listening in Champaign. This is line two. Hello. Is there a caller there on line two in Champaign?
Hello. Yes.
Yes.
Are you familiar with a bread cake called panettone?
Yes, it's Italian.
Well, I have a recipe that was put out by the Extension Corps back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty simple and pretty quick to make.
Well, let's have it.
All right. It's ingredients, 5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/2 cup of chopped candied fruits and peels.
1/2 cup, yeah.
1/2 cup of seedless raisins, 1/4 cup of slivered almonds chopped, 1 teaspoon of salt, 2 packages of ready rise yeast, 1/2 cup of milk, 1/2 cup of water, 1/3 cup of margarine, 2 eggs at room temperature, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, and confectionery sugar to use for the icing with cherry halves. Set aside 1 cup of the flour, and then in a large bowl you mix the remaining flour, candied fruits, peels, raisins, sugars, almonds, salt, yeast. You heat the milk, water, and margarine until it's hot. That's about 125 to 30 degrees. Stir it into the dry mixture. Add eggs and only enough reserve flour to make the soft dough.
Mm-hmm.
Then on a lightly floured surface, knead until smooth and elastic. It takes about 6 to 10 minutes. Cover and let rest 10 minutes. Divide the dough in half, shape into 2 round loaves. Place on a greased baking sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Cover and then you let it rise in a warm draft.
Yeah, with the yeast.
Until it about doubles in size. That takes about an hour. You bake it at 375 degrees for 30 to 35 minutes or until it's done. Remove from the sheet, baking sheet, cool on a wire rack, and then if you prefer, frost it with the confectionery sugar icing and decorate it with the candied cherry.
Oh, yes, yes.
This is always a favorite around Thanksgiving at our house. This has been a few years back, but it was always one of my favorites.
Well, that's a very good thing to know about. I just picked up a box of panettone yesterday and said, I think it's about time to think about this too. So that's very good. I've never tried to make that, but I can see what it is. what it is like a brioche with yeast, and it has fruit in it.
Yeah,
and it's used for holidays.
You can slice it off into thin slices,
yes,
or thick, however you prefer, and it never lasts so very long.
It's a very light, very tasty cake, and I push it one step farther. If you go to one of the Silver Palette cookbooks, there's a recipe in there where they use gorgonzola and San Andre cheese and cream, and they make a bread pudding out of a Pantone and these exotic cheeses. That's pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say thanks to the caller and everybody else who called in. We're pretty much going to have to wrap it up here. If you will drop us a line, we can send you the recipes. We'll send you Doyle's, too, and we could probably have the Panettone recipe,
yes,
transcribed, and so we can include that, too. Drop us a line. Give us a little while. It might take us a few days, but we can do that. We'll be happy to send them out. The man here is the guy that we like to call our chef in residence. He shows up the first Wednesday of every month at 10 o'clock hour, and we always have a good time. And we will see you in December?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
December.
All right.
Try to remember that day in December when...
when it was cold and... Never mind. Thanks very much for being here.
Good.
We appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you like the sausage cake.
Yeah, it's incredible, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's good.
Be the
good.
First on your block to get that recipe.
It's absolutely amazing.